Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bet Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. And Mark just described this off-air as being almost too much going on at the moment. And I would agree, looking at the run order today, we've got lots to get through. The EFL getting towards that stage in the season where it's squeaky bum time for many. We'll be discussing all of that with Dan Childs. And a rather nervous-looking Mark Langdon ahead of what will be a big weekend for him. Mark, how are you?
I'm all right, Jack. It's not nervousness. It's just maybe a little bit shaky after a few beers last night. Of course, it would be you won't want to kind of dwell on it too much. But I think we should start, Jack, by saying this is going to be your last Bets Club show alongside myself, because you're leaving. You're still going to be doing the sweet spot for a while with the golf, but it's been an absolute pleasure to work alongside you. You know, you're a fantastic presenter, a great guy, and just wish you all the best for the future.
That's very kind. I thought, Mark, I'd get out just before our match bet. I've got to pay out, so I'm going to run into the horizon, never to see any of you again, and then I can
sneaky, very sneaky. You know, Ipswich have been finishing above Norwich for a long time now. You could have paid out this lunch any time you wanted. So I don't know. Now I'm probably going to have to get like a McDonald's Deliveroo or something to the office. But no, I'm sure we'll stay in touch. But
absolutely. Yeah. No, it's been a real pleasure. And a big thanks not only to you, Mark, and to all of our contributors over the years, but a really lovely community that we've seemingly built on YouTube and Twitter. And, you know, the online space isn't always the nicest, but you've always been kind and compassionate with us. So, it's been an absolute pleasure. Bets Club is going nowhere. So if you are a big fan, then fear not. It will be continuing. Just being steered by a more astute presenter, I suspect. So all good there. Let's just jump straight into proceedings, Mark. And I described you as looking nervy. You sort of called it maybe slightly excited energy. It's Tottenham against Arsenal. It's 2 o'clock on Sunday. 3-1 Spurs, 3-1 the draw, 4-5 Arsenal. How are you feeling going into this?
Yeah, pretty confident at the moment. Not in terms of being able to necessarily just win the game, but I think it's going to be difficult for Arsenal to win as well. You know, we could be the team that totally derails their title bid. We were in the pub last night, weren't we, watching Liverpool against Everton, and that's exactly what Everton did. And I think they kind of raised the spirits of the one part of North London, really, in showing how you can do it. And the prize, it feels like it shouldn't be that big a prize, you know, because stopping a team from winning something is never as good as going on to win it yourself. But if you can't win it yourself, then stopping your biggest rivals is the next best thing. So yeah, I'll be going to the game. I'm not a big one for going to watch Spurs on a Sunday, but I've put that aside, and we'll I'm fairly confident now. I mean, the nerves will kick in on sort of Saturday. And then once I have a couple of sort of orange gin and tonics on Sunday, I'll be right up for it again.
Not exactly the sort of football hooligan's drink of choice.
Oh, it's a beautiful can, beautiful travel juice, the orange gin and tonic.
Is it one of these sort of pre-mixed ones, is it?
Pre-mixed. Tanqueray. Oh, yeah, fantastic. Yeah, if I could give one tip, my nap of the weekend is if you like alcohol, then that's definitely a good one for the train.
Well, look, you carry huge amounts of respect from everyone, Mark, with your football tipping, but it does seem in recent weeks people are sort of grabbing onto your food reviews and maybe drink can be next, the sort of food critic. Mark Langdon, in terms of prep runs for Arsenal, it couldn't have gone too much better. I mean, an incredibly convincing win against Chelsea, who, look, we've said all season, and it's an apt way for me to go out on Bets Club. We still don't know what Chelsea are about. I know we're going to be discussing them later on in the show, but do you take much from that game for Arsenal?
Yeah, you still got to beat them. It wasn't sort of full strength with Chelsea. They played on the Saturday and played well in that FA Cup semi-final defeat. You still, it's still a big London derby. It's still a difficult game for Arsenal. Still the potential to trip up. The way they've reacted from, losing to Aston Villa, going out of the Champions League, I think it's been brilliant. Wolves weren't at full strength either. I'm not going to start nitpicking there, and you do wonder whether the run's been quite kind for Arsenal, you know, facing Wolves without certain players and then Chelsea with Cole Palmer, for instance. But no, you still, there's still a lot of work to be done there. And when we looked sort of a couple of weeks ago, it was like Arsenal seemed to have the most difficult running, and they've been dealing, you know, lost to Aston Villa, but they've bounced back very well from that. This is the most difficult game, I think, left on their card. And if they get past it, they'll feel like they're going to sort of finish the season in perfect fashion. We're speaking before City's game on Thursday against Brighton. But you know, if they win every game, they can't do any more than that. So it really will put City to work. City haven't got an easy run in themselves, got a few tricky away games. So I think this game is just huge for Arsenal, their sort of hopes of winning the league. Because if they don't win it, there will just be that negative vibe around the place again. But they go into it in fine fettle.
And I, you know, you mentioned it earlier, Mark, in terms of causing misery to your rivals is always good fun. But what's left for Spurs this season? I mean, how would you rate the season? It's been somewhat of a transition, I guess, but happy with how it's been?
Do you know what? I think it's quite difficult to weigh up Tottenham, because there's been some bits I've really liked, the vibes, the Ange vibes that I've enjoyed. There have been moments in sort of even in matches or in sort of parts of the season where you can really see like where they're heading, and the future looks bright and a lot of young players. I didn't expect them to finish in the top four or five without Harry Kane leaving on the eve of the season. I thought that this would be a season of even more transition. And then, so you think, well, to be fifth and still in with a chance of fourth is actually good going. But the results they had earlier on in the season, where they were, I think it would be a blow, to not finish in the top four. And that's looking increasingly the most likely outcome now. So Europa League rather than Champions League. So fun, isn't it? Because if they would have started the season sort of slowly and then built into this over the second half of the season, then I think people would have been excited by the league position. It's just because that league position has suddenly gone backwards, and they were never going to win the league. You know, a lot of joking around when they were top of the table. I mean, that was, that they were outshooting just their numbers, and Vicario was, you know, playing to the sort of level that was just unsustainable. So I think this is roughly where they are. I think the foundations have been built for next season. There are some Tottenham fans starting to just question some of Ange's tactics and approach, including one actually, Jack, and I've forgotten the guy's name, but he approached me on the train after the Luton games, from Walthamstow. So apologies, the person will know who they are. It was a while ago, and I'd had a few gin and tonics by that stage, but he says he really enjoys
it's funny you mentioned that, Mark, because I don't think we're setting the best example, because I've got the train from Norwich to London yesterday morning, and I had a bit of a snooze because I was on the early one, and I got into Liverpool Street. I was a bit kind of bleary eyed. Oh, we're here. And a tap on the shoulder. I'm like, oh, it's Inspector or something. And it was a viewer of Betts Club going, love the show. But I was so dazed. I think he either thought I was drunk or just slightly off it. So apologies to any viewers that we've met. Mark's half cut, and
he definitely had a couple as well. This Spurs fan was saying to me that, you know, like, we need to have a plan B. There needs to be something else. We need to be able to play in a slightly different way. We need to be able to criticise when things go wrong for Postecoglou, like it did at Fulham, like it did at Newcastle, because there is this almost cult. Danny Kelly, the presenter, was sort of talking about this Postecoglou cult, where you're not actually allowed to criticise anything he does. We're not saying you want him sacked, not saying you want him to change his entire philosophy, but you've also got to hold your hands up when you're like thumped at Fulham and bashed at Newcastle, that, these things are not great, and that, need to be able to do sort of better than that. And maybe that will come. But at the moment, I'm more in the camp of we need to be able to criticise him. Not everything he does is fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, look, this is set to be a really intriguing battle. What's your best bet for it?
So I'm going to go against the grain here, and I'm going to go for under 3.5 goals, which, you know, the line used to be 2.5, didn't it? It's now, you know, predominantly 3.5 in Premier League games, but it's only just favourite under 3.5 goals. And I'm looking at Arsenal. They haven't won away a team in the top seven this season. They lost 1-0 at Villa, and they lost 1-0 at Newcastle. They've only scored one goal in those four games. You know, they had the 1-1, didn't they, at Liverpool, and then the real snore fest at City, 0-0. So I think this might be slightly more cagey than previous North London derbies that have, you know, many of them have been absolutely chaotic. There's a lot riding on the game, and I get the impression there is the chance, particularly with a doggy out, potentially Porro as well, that Tottenham's fullbacks might be on the more defensive side, which actually will harm their attacking sort of ambitions, but maybe make them a more sort of defensively solid outfit. And we know Arsenal are the best team in the Premier League defensively, so it's going to be difficult for Spurs to score against them, I think. So, yeah, I'm expecting an exciting game, but maybe not one that's full of goals.
Okay, great stuff. I think we've got a bet build for this one later on in the show as well, so stick around for that. But before that, we'll be getting through the rest of the Premier League action. Let's start then with the early kickoff on Saturday. West Ham against Liverpool, 17-4 West Ham, 15-4 the draw, 11-20 Liverpool. Talk about a season being derailed in a couple of weeks, Mark. I mean, we were watching that Everton Liverpool game. It was amusing. We were in a London pub. I don't think there were any Everton fans in there, but the cheers that went up when when
there's a lot
when
of
Everton
fans
scored.
In there. Yeah, there's a lot of Arsenal
indeed.
I found it
really strange watching Liverpool last few weeks. Very uncharacteristic to what we've become used to under Jurgen Klopp.
I totally agree. I think I go to that game against Atalanta when they're just hitting long balls. Like, they're just smashing it forward. I think, like, the old Wimbledon played more football than what Liverpool were attempting in that second half. Completely, I don't know if that was maybe it must have been the tactics. I can't believe they just decided to start smashing it long at that time. Fought against Everton, too passive, too sort of slow in possession, not sort of words that we usually associate with Liverpool. And then the most obvious one is wasteful, because despite them being in a sticky spell, they had moments in that Atalanta game to be able to get a second goal that would have, you know, potentially turned the tide. How many chances did they miss against Crystal Palace? And then they've not played well against Everton, and yet their XG was still around about 2.5, and they've come out with no goals. You just can't keep doing that. You know, maybe once or twice a season you can leave it on the table. But, you know, Nunes is a player that we've enjoyed, sort of laughed and with at times, and actually celebrated and sort of spoken about. If he ever gets it together, he's a Premier League Golden Boot winner just waiting to happen. That chance he missed against Everton on sort of Wednesday night, I thought was pretty, like, useless, really, for but by the standards of a Premier League player.
And it's not the first time, is it? You know, he's missed
just
the
putting your head, like, putting your head down and just smashing it. And that's not what needed to happen there. Pickford's left, like, virtually the whole goal open for him to sort of just almost roll it into the other side. You need to have composure at times. And Salah's off his game as well at the moment. I think Diaz is the one in that attack that, I'd say carrying it's a bit strong, but he's sort of playing up to his standard. I think Szoboszlai is not having a brilliant sort of month or so. Endo off the boil as well. When he first came in, he was brilliant. And Everton just bullied them at times, and not in an overly aggressive way, but every time a set piece went into the box, there was only one team sort of winning the headers, and it wasn't those, in Jurgen Klopp's side. So, yeah, the quad was always, you know, massively ambitious, and you can go out of the FA Cup and you can not win the league. But I think it's the way that some of it's happened will leave a bitter taste, really, in Liverpool fans, because they've had enough chances in all of those games to have still managed to come out on top.
It feels as if the speed in which it's kind of all fallen apart has been quite, must be difficult to take for Liverpool fans. Do you think there'll be a tinge of regret in the way that Jurgen Klopp's kind of handled him, you know, him stepping away from the club and this whole farewell tour? I mean, when it's going well, it seems like a lovely thing to do, but I don't know if I'd feel comfortable with the way it's gone for them.
I don't think Klopp had much choice, really. I don't think he would have wanted to have done it when he did it, but it was getting out, and Liverpool needed to be in a position where they had to start looking for a new manager. And, you know, the way that they've put different people in place now at board level, and it had to be done. You could argue that in some of these results and performances that, you know, when Klopp says about a lack of energy, maybe that's being shown in the team, and maybe he has just run out of gas. I mean, that performance against Everton was not one you'd expect of a Liverpool team trying to win the league.
And I think often in past times, Mark, when Liverpool maybe haven't been fully at the races, you look towards a Mo Salah for a moment of brilliance to kind of pull you out. And even he has been, I know he's been injured and AFCON and stuff this season, but he just looks a little bit off the boil as well.
He definitely hasn't come back from latest injury in the kind of Salah that Liverpool needed if they were to go and, you know, win two trophies, three trophies or whatever it was going to be this season. I think that's really fair. He was taken off, hasn't he? He's been taken off in some of the games, didn't start Fulham. So, I mean, Klopp can see it. It'd be incredible, wouldn't it, if Amorim ends up at West Ham rather than Liverpool. There we go. Arne Slot, very strong favourite to get the Liverpool job. And sounds like Amorim or Lopetegui for West Ham. But I mean, we're talking about farewell tours. I mean, David Moyes has got his own little one going on at West Ham. It's going to be very hard to see how he's there. Their manager next season, I would say.
What do you think for this game? Do you think Liverpool can turn things around?
Do you know what? I think they will bounce back. I'm going for Liverpool to win and over 2.5 goals. You could argue now that the pressure's off Liverpool. West Ham have scored in 15 of their last 18 home games. But, I mean, that performance against Crystal Palace was, just abysmal from them. And, it feels like the end for them, you know. So, yeah, good opportunity for Liverpool to win, but I don't think you could fancy them defensively to keep a clean sheet with, particularly from set pieces, West Ham might be dangerous.
Absolutely. A few 3 o'clock kickoffs to get through. We shall start with Fulham against Crystal Palace. Even money, Fulham, 5-2 the draw, 11-4 Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace are suddenly really good at football.
There's nobody better than, was it Jean-Philippe Mateta? What a player he is. He's playing unbelievably well at the moment. Well, I say, in recent weeks, Glasner had worked in Germany. Mateta had worked in Germany. Maybe he sort of seen something that Palace weren't doing to get the best out of him that actually got him that move, to the Premier League in the first place. But, it was one of Crystal Palace's biggest problems, wasn't it? That sort of lack of threat up front. Eze and Elise are now back and available. Didn't even need Elise for the victory against Newcastle. But Eze pulling the strings, Bruce Millington, former presenter of Betts Club, would be absolutely furious if we didn't mention the form of Wharton in midfield. So
he is special, yeah.
There's a lot going on for Crystal Palace at the moment, and I'm going for them to win. At 11-4, they're two teams that are difficult to call, no doubt about that. But Palace dismantled West Ham, beaten Newcastle, played very well at Anfield. Both teams are in mid-table, nothing to play for. So you have to take sort of motivation at trust. But, Palace seem very motivated at the moment. And, when they've got those forward players fit, available and in confident sort of mood, then it feels sort of wrong to turn them down at a nice juicy price.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Manchester United against Burnley. It's 1-2 United, 15-4 the draw, 9-2 Burnley. If we're saying Palace are getting better, I mean, United are going backwards. I mean, that performance against Coventry, my goodness me.
Well, the first hour weren't too bad. I mean, they were 3-0 up. I don't think they actually played that well. Coventry were very passive and seemed like the occasion got the better of them. And actually, once the game was lost, they then sort of played like the Coventry that sort of seen this season. And then
should have won, Mark.
Should have won.
Final goal, yeah, onside.
No, it was offside. You can't, you can't just give goals because it, you know, you want it to happen. Otherwise,
but what a moment it would have been, Mark. I mean, surely the kind of romantic in you goes, "Oh, what an occasion it would have been."
Yeah, it would have done. But I mean, yeah, if you're living in a world where VAR exists, then it's offside. I also, you know, I don't think it was handball. I don't think Coventry should have had the penalty at 3-2. But you don't talk about that because it was great for the story. But the fact that United got into such a state against a Championship team, the fact that, you know, they were twice behind to Sheffield United at home, like, they're just so difficult to trust. You don't know what's going to come out of them from one minute to the next. And I'm going for Burnley to win. They've only got one defeat. They've only had, well, Fulham, Bournemouth and Palace have all won at Old Trafford this season. Yeah, yeah. And I think that Burnley are in there, to use like a kind of Gary Neville phrase, they're in a good moment, Burnley. One defeat in seven. They've had a couple of wins in that time. Some incredible draws as well. It's only really been individual errors that have cost them more points. You know, the goalkeeper on two occasions has really messed up for them. But of all the teams down the bottom, if one of them is going to launch the great escape, it's stupid to say it because Luton have got a better chance just on pure odds. But I actually think the way the teams are playing, you could make a case for saying that Burnley have got more chance of kind of pulling off the great escape because I think they're in their best sort of performance, sort of purple patch of the season. And, you know, why not go to Old Trafford and win?
Absolutely. I think Burnley are probably one of the sides down there where they will look, particularly at this moment, and go, "Oh, we should be closer to safety with the individual mistakes and goalkeeping errors." And you go, "Oh, if they have been, you know, even a couple of them have been eradicated, they would have been in touching distance."
Yeah, you know, no, I totally agree with that. You know, there was a time at the start of the season when they, you know, I mean, they were, I hate to use like naivety, but it did feel like they were fairly naive. They got their act together, but in sort of certain aspects of the game, but then really sort of struggled in the boxes. But they've got Nottingham Forest on the final day of the season. So can they get to within 3 points of Forest by the time, you know, so actually that game and, you know, goal difference and all that side. So can they get to that game where if they win, they stay up? That's got to be sort of the target they aim for at the moment. Man City are travelling to Forest, so you wouldn't expect much from Forest this weekend. I think there's an opportunity for Burnley to do something at Old Trafford and really throw this sort of relegation race wide open.
And that's exactly the type of result to propel you onto a possible great escape. Still hope for Burnley. Newcastle against Sheffield United. Let's take a look at this. 2-9 Newcastle, 6-1 the draw, 10-1 about Sheffield United. No great escape on the cards for Sheffield United.
No, but the fact that they, you know, were competitive at Old Trafford sort of will make them sort of feel better about themselves after what happened.
Is that the stage we're at now with Sheffield United?
Yeah, I think they
remain
are
competitive.
I think it is. I think that I do think that they'll, you know, they concede, but they just concede too many goals, don't they? 4 to United, 4 to Burnley. You know, it's way too much. So I'm going for Newcastle on the half-time, full-time double result. Sort of bad result for Newcastle in the week in terms of them qualifying for Europe, but they're a different beast at home, and they tend to start quite quickly. In their last 8 home games, they've scored 11 first half goals. So, I think they can sort of put Sheffield United on the ropes early.
Okay, Wolves against Luton, 19-20 Wolves, 14-5 the draw, 13-5 Luton. It felt as if, I don't know, Mark, maybe 6 weeks ago, we were going, "Oh, Luton could maybe do something special here." And I know the word momentum gets thrown about, and whether you believe in that or not is a different matter, but it does feel as if that's gone now.
Yeah, I think it's belief. I think, you know, I think there was a time when there was real belief in those Luton ranks, but I mean, they were battered by Brentford, and it was a Brentford team missing Ivan Toney. They've now lost 10 of their last 13 games. And like Wolves are odds against here to beat them. I know Wolves are in a bad moment. If Burnley are in a good moment, Wolves are in a bad moment. And they lost to Bournemouth in midweek as well. But I'm going for Wolves to win the game. Some of their players are back from injury. Nottingham Forest have been complaining about VAR decisions. I think Wolves have been on the wrong end of more than any other team. And it happened again on Wednesday. There was potentially a foul in the build-up to what would have been an equalising goal, but it wasn't a big foul. It had no major impact on the goal. It felt like the wrong move. I did laugh when the Wolves fans were singing about the Premier League being corrupt, as if the Premier League would want Bournemouth to beat Wolves. There's no conspiracy against these teams. I'm a big supporter of referees, and they've got a difficult job, and it's not made easier actually by VAR. If anything, it's made their job harder, because what I'm seeing is indecision. You know, the team, the referees are, you know, they're going, well, I might not give that, because if I am wrong, then the VAR can tell me. But then the video ref's going, well, he hasn't given it on field, so I'm not in a position to overrule. They then get criticised, like Atwell was, and then they go and sort of then want to get involved in the game the next time something minor happens. And I think that's a problem. I also feel like our referees at the moment are just not a good crop, generally speaking. And you could say, well, the reason is no one wants to be a referee because of the amount of criticism they get. And there's a fairness to that. But, I'm all for supporting officials. But then I think we do have to say, not a great bunch at the moment.
It was interesting, that Forest statement, because I read it and just thought it seems really tin pot. And then if you read kind of through the Forest fans, they were like, I'm proud of my kind of club for stepping up. If Spurs had have made that statement, how would you have felt?
Oh, embarrassed. Yeah,
would you?
Completely embarrassed.
Well, that's the sense I got. But yeah. I guess when you're a team in a relegation scrap and you feel like it's us against them, sometimes that kind of battle can work, but I don't know.
Spurs have had one penalty this season, and I keep seeing on Twitter people talking about this big six narrative and how they always get every decision. I'm thinking, given how attacking Tottenham are and how many touches they've had in the opposition penalty box, they've had one penalty. I mean, it feels like there's a penalty in every Premier League game these days, except for Everton against Forest last week. And yet Spurs have had one. And, just one of them things.
Maybe you're not in the big up. Six, Mark. Maybe you're just...
We are referred to as the Sky Six. I've seen that one. That one comes up quite a lot now. The Sky Six.
So that sounds like some sort of like new cricket format, the Sky Six. Right, let's take a look. What are we looking at next? We've got Everton against Brentford, haven't we? It's 7-5 and Everton 5-2 the draw, 19-10 Brentford. That will have settled the nerves a little bit for Everton fans last night, Mark.
What a week. You know, I think the victory over Forest sort of sealed safety, unless they're going to get another point deduction. I don't think there's any in the offing.
You never know.
But I think that they're going to be absolutely fine now. And then, to beat Liverpool was like the crown and glory. If you're not going to win a trophy this season, it's probably the next best thing for Everton. Goodison was rocking. I'm sure it will be on Saturday, and sort of celebrating the players, because they put in a huge sort of shift. They're not as good. They're not as talented as Liverpool, but they made up for it in other ways. And, that's what I suppose Sean Dyche teams do try to do. For this game, I'm going over 2.5 goals, because part of me feels like Everton might relax slightly now. They've got a very good defensive record, but Brentford, 10 goals in their last three games, and Bueno being fit is a big thing for them. He's somebody, I think he's been one of the biggest misses of the season when he was out for Brentford. Changes the whole dynamic of how they try to play. So, I think this might be a decent game.
Okay, let's take a look at the 8:00 kickoff on Saturday. It's Aston Villa against Chelsea, 6-5 Villa, 14-5 the draw, 2-1. Chelsea, just as we thought we were figuring Chelsea out, they go and blow it wide open again. What is going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it is a young team. It's in the boxes, isn't it? They've got a problem in terms of being able to score goals, and they've got a problem in that defensively, they just feel like they make mistakes in every single game. Like, you know, the days of them being, you look at sort of Arsenal and how solid they are defensively, and Chelsea can't get there straight away. That's been progressive work, but they just make so many errors, Chelsea. And then when things go wrong, and I'm sort of repeating myself because I've said it before, but it's the same at the Emirates. When things go wrong, they just go spectacularly wrong, and there's nobody in the team that's able to just sort of hold them together and keep them in a game, because you never know. Like, if you keep that to 2-0 and then you score the next goal against Arsenal, maybe you get that goal really late and you've only got 2 or 3 minutes to be able to try and get an equaliser. But you're in the game. You might get a corner. You might be able to nick something. But they just haven't got that mentality to be able to sort of deal with adversity at the moment. And, I'm going for Aston Villa, draw no bet here, because I just say, like, how can you trust Chelsea? And Nicholas Jackson has had a lot of stick. I mainly rightly so. The way that, I mean, he goes around as if he's like Cristiano Ronaldo, but he doesn't remind me of that Ronnie. He might reminds me more of Ronnie Rosenthal than he does Cristiano Ronaldo. Start finishing a few chances and then sort of give it the big one the other way around.
Oh dear, very good. Let's take a look at Bournemouth against Brighton, the hipsters derby, 13-10 Bournemouth, 11-4 the draw, 15-8 Brighton. I think that I'm glad we're kind of past the whole Brighton loving now, because over the last few years of Bets Club, Mark, I thought you were going to sort of reveal a Brighton shirt at times. It's
they punched above their weight. They got into Europe. They've reached FA Cup semi-finals. You know, this is probably just regression to kind of who they are and where they are, which is still a functioning sort of good to watch Premier League team that's kicking around mid-table. And those mid-table teams, you can have a purple patch and that can jump you up into Europe. You can actually go backwards sort of slightly if things don't go well. They've had a lot of injuries this season. Somebody like Ferguson hasn't trained on as much as they will have hoped. I don't think De Zerbi sort of discussing his future every week is helpful and sort of not committing to the calls. And then on the other side of things, you go, well, Bournemouth, I mean, great result for them. They were the Premier League handicap anti-post, and they're in with a shout of the each way aspect of that. Don't think they'll be winning it. So with my anti-post hat on, I'll be cheering Bournemouth on in this game. I actually think the draw might be the way to go. I struggle to sort of, want to be fully in on Bournemouth, because they're a team that are inconsistent as well at the moment. They're getting there under Iraola, and I think they might be able to build on it again next season. But I'm not a Brighton fan, Jack, but you're right in that I do appreciate what they do, and that's why I think the draw rather than a Bournemouth win. I think it's difficult to tip Brighton up. We're speaking before their game against City on Thursday.
Absolutely. One final game to preview from the Premier League slate this week at Sunday, 4:30, Forest against Manchester City. As you mentioned, Mark, we're speaking before City's game. Doubts around Haaland and potentially Foden, I was seeing?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got to sort of see how they come out of the game against Brighton. Quick turnaround. That sort of Thursday, Sunday is never ideal. I still feel, though, that City should be able to win at the City Ground, particularly seeing as the referee is going to want them to win, and the VAR will make sure they get a penalty or would disallow a couple of Nottingham Forest goals, because there's a massive conspiracy against the Tricky Trees. So I'm going to go for Man City to win and under 3.5 goals. If you look at Forest, they only lost 2-1 against Arsenal at home. They only lost 1-0. It was very late on, wasn't it, against Liverpool. So those are the two teams in the same bracket as Manchester City. And so that's where I'm going. I think actually Forest have got some of the tools that you need to beat City, particularly pace out wide. I think that is you know, something that teams do and can get at City, because they do leave that space sort of in behind. And, you know, Forest have got that in abundance, but there should be a class differential there. And City hopefully win, because I'm on them to win the Premier League.
Well, at the time of recording, I think City are about 4-7 to go on and win the Premier League. Do you think they'll see it out?
Probably.
Still looking confident for the anti-post. What was it, the quad?
Oh, yeah, no, Ipswich are not winning the championship, but I'm just hopeful they can get promotion.
I don't know. I think there's a chance.
No.
I think the run-in is easier than people make out for Ipswich. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of promotion potentially, but, you know, I mean, Leicester have done the deed, haven't they, as far as the championship title's gone. That was an amazing win over Southampton. Like, hurt my eyes to see that 5-0. I couldn't believe it.
I sadly think we're going to have to become honest with ourselves and realise that Russ Martin football maybe isn't quite as effective as we once believed. But we'll discuss that once I've got over it. Look, let's chat to Dan Charles now for all things EFL.
If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets. And there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets.
Love this time of the season in the EFL. So much on the line for so many different teams. Trying to work out the if, buts and maybes is always very difficult. The best man to do that is Dan Charles. Dan, I suspect your brain is fried at the moment, isn't it? So much going on.
Yeah, it's a good chance as well, though, to find some value, because you've got, you know, so many different variables, teams with things to play for, other teams, you know, supposedly with not anything to play for, but it's just working out really, you know, which side to go on. Sometimes you get teams that might not have anything to play for, play with freedom and play even better than normally, and other times it, you know, they could just throw the towel in. So it's just judging really what way to look at it.
Do you think bookmakers are better now in terms of factoring the, you know, there'll be certain teams that are on the beach and etc. Do you think that is kind of baked into the prices nowadays?
It is baked into the prices, but I just think that it's kind of a general, it's applied generally. And I think if you can take a position sometimes either way, sometimes there are teams that really have like turned it in, or the manager's looking at youngsters and there's not a very deep squad. You know, it could be a big drop off. Other teams are just desperate to keep going to the end, come what may, you know, and it can be underestimated. So it just depends. You've got to judge everything on a case by case basis, and there can be value either side of it, really.
Okay. We'll have three tips for this weekend, but we shall start with our team in focus. Who are we looking at this week, Dan?
Yeah, we're looking at Crewe. I mean, this is a team with everything to play for at the moment, been in the playoffs really since for the vast majority of the season. We're actually in the top three going into the start of March, but they're going to Colchester this weekend. It's an interesting one because Colchester need a point to stay out. Crewe need a point to get into the playoffs. So there's every chance there could be a mutually acceptable draw in this fixture. But more generally on Crewe, I think that even if they reach the playoffs, which I would expect them to, I'm not sure they'll make much of an impact. Injuries have been piling up for Crewe recently. You've got there's been about 9 to 10 players out, but including sort of key ones like a couple of the forwards, Courtney Baker, Richardson has been out for them. Chris Long, that's two of their top three goal scorers. Luke Offord, a key player that plays in sort of defence or holding midfield. Jack Powell's been out a big chunk of the season. So they're kind of struggling at the moment injury-wise. Results have taken a turn for the worse. Their last three home games, they've had 3-0 defeats, which is, you know, pretty remarkable really for a team, you know, looks like they're going to be heading into the playoffs. And so I would just suggest with Crewe, yes, they'll probably get the result they need at Colchester and get into the playoffs. But in terms of looking any further ahead than that, I wouldn't be putting them in any promotion bets.
OK, that's a good stance to have. Three selections for this weekend. Who is the first?
Watford, team that I know well, obviously season ticket holder there, go to, you know, most of the home games. They haven't won a home game since they beat your team, Norwich, Jack, back in November, incredibly.
Really?
Won a home league game, I should say. They beat Chesterfield in the FA Cup. So shocking run at home. So my advice this week is to back them to win at home to Sunderland. Watching Watford, Tom Cleverley's actually been given the job on a permanent basis this week. Might seem a bit strange because he's had 7 games in charge, one win, five draws, one defeat. Now, that might not sound like amazing form, but when you drill down into those fixtures, they've had a 2-2 draw at home to Leeds, a 2-2 draw away to West Brom, got a draw away to Ipswich last weekend, a 0-0 draw at home to Hull, who are pushing to get into the playoffs. You know, the levels, performance-wise, have gone up quite considerably since Cleverley's gone in there. And when you look at where they were, sort of falling off a cliff under Valerian Ismail towards the end of his reign, it's quite a big turnaround, really, and that's probably led to him, you know, getting the job on a more permanent basis. Obviously, the home wins, as I've mentioned, haven't come yet, but I do feel this is a great chance. Sunderland at home, Sunderland, a team that have been trying to get into the playoffs for a lot of the season, have really, their form has sort of, you know, completely collapsed in over the last couple of months. And I just don't see. Jack Clark has come back from injury recently, which gives him, you know, quite a major boost. But I just think that at the moment, you know, the performances are not quite there for Sunderland and Watford. I think these good performances that have been getting some excellent draws, it could turn one into a win this weekend.
Yeah, like the sound of that one, Dan. The Championship for the first. Where are we going for the second?
Drop into League One. One of these teams, it's a team with Fleetwood who are relegated, home to Burton who are playing to try and, you know, make sure of survival. This is one where I'm going to actually go for the team with supposedly nothing to play for to win the game. Burton, 21-10, the prices at the moment to win at home. They've actually improved despite being relegated. Their form has been better as the season's gone on. They got 19 points from the first 28 games, 21 from the last 17. So more recently, it's been more like kind of mid-table form, really, for Fleetwood. They looked doomed before last weekend, but they still went to Leyton Orient and won 1-0, which is, you know, a decent performance and result. So they've not kind of like chucked it in terms of their performances at the moment. And Burton have been, I mean, they need, they're under a lot of pressure now. Cheltenham won 2-0 at home to Peterborough on Tuesday. That's kept it alive there in the battle to avoid the drop. Burton need to win at Fleetwood to make sure of staying ahead of Cheltenham. Cheltenham go to Stevenage in their final game, and every chance they could go, you know, possibly and win there. So Burton under a lot of pressure. Fleetwood, as I've mentioned, you know, have improved in the second part of the season, and teams always like to win their last home game as well. I'm going to back Fleetwood to do that on this occasion.
I like the angle there, Dan. Yeah, great stuff. So Fleetwood in that one. And who's the final selection for this week?
Final one in League Two. It's not going to get anyone's pulses racing. It's two teams with absolutely nothing to play for. Swindon at home to Morecambe. I'm going to go for Swindon at a shade of odds on. Might not sound like the most amazing wager, but Swindon have really underperformed this season. But they have had better performances at home. 11 of their 14 wins have come at the County Ground. I do think they'll be doing their utmost to win, you know, their final home game of the season. Morecambe, they were pushing for the playoffs for a while, but their performances and results have kind of fallen off a cliff recently. 8 defeats in their last 10 games. Issues off the field as well with Morecambe, heading towards a transfer embargo in the summer due to their struggles off the field. They were deducted 3 points, you know, related to that recently as well. So really struggling at the moment, Morecambe, an uncertain future for them. And I think Swindon will take advantage and beat them in the final match of the season there.
Great stuff, Dan. Thank you so very much, as always.
You're welcome, Jack.
Well, we'll finish things off for this week's Bets Club with Mark's best bets. We'll start with a bet builder. Only one game we're looking at here.
Yeah, Arsenal against Tottenham. Michael Oliver, the referee, could be a busy boy. I think the referees have calmed down, haven't they, in terms of sort of carding players as the season has gone on. But this for me has got all the makings of kicking off. So I'm going for a bookings treble. Christian Romero to be booked. Romero, I mean, he's walking booking, isn't he? Absolute hothead. This is the type of game that will get him pumped up. Ben Davis to be booked, likely to play at left back against Saka, a player that's very tricky. Lights as well, I would say, to go down fairly easily and sort of build pressure on the opposition fullback. And Davis just hasn't got the pace to be able to cope with him. So if Saka does go past him, I just see Davis fouling him, you know, as the only means to stop him. And then to complete the treble and the bet builder bookings threesome, it's Kai Havertz to be booked. Been booked in his last 3 games against Tottenham in Chelsea and Arsenal shirt. There was one game against Chelsea particularly where him and Romero just decided to sort of go at each other for around about 20 minutes. I'm pretty sure neither of them will have forgotten that. So hopefully they get booked in the same incident.
Oh, plenty going on in that one then. Let's take a look at Treble for this weekend.
You mentioned Russell Martin. So he does actually feature in the Treble, but I'm going for Wolves to beat Luton. I just think the price is too big. I know Luton, there's more riding on it for them, but Wolves are starting to get a couple of players back. And Luton don't look in a great place to me. Southampton to beat Stoke. Southampton assured of a playoff spot. Stoke are still fighting for survival, although they should be okay. For me, though, I think Southampton need to bounce back from that 5-0 hammering. You don't want to go into the playoffs with sort of loads of defeats in the form book, you know? So I see Russell Martin sort of wanting to win this game and being very positive. And then his former club, MK Dons, going for them to beat Sutton. It's similar sort of situation here where MK Dons are assured of their playoff spot, so nothing riding on the game. But as a manager, I'm sort of putting myself in the manager mindset. I think there's too long in between the final match of the season and when MK Dons are playing in the playoffs to just give everybody the time off. I think the way that MK Dons, the football they play, you need to be in a rhythm. I'm going for them to beat Sutton. The price is being held up because Sutton need to win. But MK Dons have won 10 of their last 13 home games. And you're a very strong side, MK Dons. Sutton are down there for a reason. They're likely to be relegated for a reason. And they need a lot to go right to even stay up. So there's also the potential that if things are going wrong elsewhere, that they sort of down tools themselves. So yeah, Wolves, Southampton, MK Dons. So we've got Russell Martin's former club. We've got Russell Martin's current club. I think he might be in the running to be the next Wolves manager, you know, if Gary O'Neill decides to depart.
I was going to say, what's his future club there? Around about 11-2 for that treble. We shall finish things off as we always do with your nap, Mark.
Yeah, Aston Villa draw no bet, 8-11. You know, Villa have come out of their own sort of dodgy patch that they managed to qualify from a very difficult tie against Lille. They went to Arsenal, played superbly in that game to beat them 2-0. Followed it up. You know, things didn't go well for them against Bournemouth at the start of that game, and they weren't amazing in the first half an hour. Very impressed with the way they rallied and managed to win that game convincingly in the end. Ollie Watkins is scoring goals, he's creating goals for others. And I just thought they'd be stronger favourites than just narrow favourites home to Chelsea. Over the course of this season, they've been a better, more consistent team than Chelsea. I just can't trust, to do anything, really, in a positive fashion. I've got no idea what Chelsea will turn up. And I think we've got a much better idea of what Villa will turn up. And you could also argue there's more motivating factors here. Villa going all out for Champions League. Chelsea, you know, they might be able to sneak a Europa Conference spot or, you know, maybe even league, more likely conference. I mean, are they really that fussed about that? I'm not so sure.
There we go. Completely agree, Mark. It's been a pleasure. There we go. The final episode. Well, with me anyway. Warren will be back next week. The brilliant Warren Ashurst alongside Mark for the next show. Thank you to everyone for tuning in over the last few years. It's been an absolute delight. I was trying to think of my favourite tip that you've put up during that time. I think it's been one of the... We went on a brilliant run of shots on targets bets, didn't we? And the bucket, the Pedro Porro, the goal scorer that you famously didn't back.
Yes. Ben Davis.
A particular highlight. Ben Davis fan club.
The Danny Davis. And when he finally notched one, that was a beautiful moment.
Absolutely. Well, look, best of luck with the anti-post bets from now until the end of the season. I think
you don't mean that. You don't want it to be promoted. You don't.
I actually wouldn't mind them going up automatically if it meant that we missed them in the playoffs and we go up as well. Okay, that's how I'm thinking about it. Everyone wins then.
Okay. Well, all the best, Jack. It's been a pleasure working with you.
Top man, Mark. Thanks to everyone at home for watching. If you are following in with any of the selections this week, please remember to do so responsibly. Bets Club will be back next Thursday. See you then.